You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
About 2 weeks ago, National announced that if they should get elected, they will implement a nationwide ban on phones in schools, a hotly debated piece of policy that the Principals Federation does not stand behind. I discussed this with Dr. Shane Reddy, along with where the National Party stands on Labor's removal of GST on fruits and vegetables that was made last week. In addition to this, I discussed the announcement made yesterday by National that should they be elected, they will fund 13 cancer treatments with substantial clinical benefits. I started by asking Dr. Shane Reddy why National believes there needs to be a nationwide ban on cell phones in schools.
So we know that cell phones are a distraction for students, and we know that the teachers are frustrated by students being distracted as well. We want students to learn, we want teachers to teach. And we're also aware that there's a strong parent voice saying that cell phones are a distraction. So we've taken on board some of the evidence, including some of the UNESCO evidence across the European countries that showed that student achievement in places where they've banned cell phones in schools has actually improved. And we think there's a place, an appropriate place, to say that cell phones should be banned in schools and that schools have the policies and ability to fine-tune how that works for each individual school.
So I read somewhere that it should be the decision of the individual school to ban cell phones or not. Where does National stand on this?
So how they actually implement it, we think it is a national policy decision. And so the decision just been made that cell phones should be banned from schools. How each individual school implements that policy is up to them. And how they monitor it and what the consequences are for breaking the policy are up for them. They already have a process when some school rules are broken as to what they would do, and it varies from school to school. So implementation of the policy direction would be up to each individual school.
The Principals Federation, I read somewhere, has called it unnecessary and unworkable. In addition to this, anecdotally, I've read that teachers feel it may make more work for them. Why is National still pushing for a ban?
Because those schools that have already implemented a cell phone ban seem to be able to implement it successfully and are pleased with progress. So certainly we'll take on board the advice from knowledgeable people in the sector, but the evidence that we've seen to date suggests that it is a policy that's worth pursuing.
If this becomes policy, will National help schools to implement it?
We'll provide whatever support is required and asked for to help implement a policy of this type.
On to the GST announcement. Now that Labor has announced the removal of GST on fresh fruit and vegetables, where does National stand on this?
Well, we stand beside nearly almost every single economist who agrees that this is poor policy making on several levels. First of all, not clear that there is pass-through of the amount that is of GST that is removed. Secondly, that the benefit may be around about $5 a week. And it just seems duplicitous at the same time that 12 cents a litre of petrol tax is being touted for other ambitions the Labor government may have. So that we agree with the vast majority of economists, this is poor policy and it won't achieve the objective. And you know, they were warned about this beforehand, once we were aware, before they announced the policy, that it was coming down the pathway. All the issues that have been troublesome in other jurisdictions that have tried to implement a similar GST policy have risen up. The example of, well, if you have oranges, they're removed from GST, but if you squeeze them and make them squeezed orange juice, suddenly it's processed and that does require GST. Well, that's all very problematic. That's increasingly complex, and this is how it's been in other jurisdictions as well. And they were warned before they formalised it that these were going to be the problems, and as I say, their inability to find any body of economists who think this is a good idea probably talks for itself.
Labor's objective with this GST removal is to ensure that healthy food is accessible for New Zealanders. What would National do, as opposed to the removal of GST on fresh fruit and vegetables, that still ensures the accessibility of healthy food for Kiwis?
What we've said is we'll give people tax relief. We'll shift the tax rates and give people tax relief so that they have more money to spend in their pocket. on average $1,000 a year for New Zealanders. So rather than introducing more complex tax changes of the sort that Labor is envisaging for GST, we'll use a very simple method where we adjust the tax brackets and just give people more money to make healthy choices.
So would you say that this tax relief would be equal to, if not greater than, the tax relief from this GST removal?
Look, when they're positing that there's $5 a week in benefits for GST removal for the average family, you multiply that by 50 weeks, that's around about $250 a year. For the average New Zealand family, we're offering them $1,000 a year in tax relief. So, you know, it would suggest that what we're offering would give New Zealanders more choice and a better outcome than what Labor's trying to do with this complicated GST tax proposal.
On to your announcement from yesterday. You have announced that National will pay for 13 cancer treatments that are effective at extending survival rates. Would you care to elaborate on this?
Yeah, we're very excited about this, and this has been incredibly well received. So the Cancer Control Agency, the independent agency, produced a report last year called Understanding the Gap, and it compared the cancer treatments that Australia funds that New Zealand does not, and those cancer treatments that have substantial clinical benefit, and recommended them as a priority. Now, of those 20, two were decided that didn't make the muster, and so they were passed out. Five the government has funded, and that left the remaining 13 cancer treatments that Australia funds, and we do not, that the independent agency has said have substantial clinical benefit. And so what the proposal we announced yesterday was that we will fund those 13 treatments. We want to lift the cancer bar in New Zealand, and we'd already started doing that when we said we would increase the breast cancer screening age up to 74 for New Zealand women, so we'd already made that announcement. Clinicians had told us they needed more tools to do a better cancer job. Clinicians had told us that roughly 1,500 New Zealanders die per year compared to Australians who have similar cancer conditions. And so we've taken on board the recommendations of the Cancer Control Agency, and we'll be funding those 13 cancer treatments that Australia funds and we do not.
So you mentioned that five are already government funded. Why are the additional 13 not already government funded if it's proven to help?
That's a great question. I can't answer that. That's a question for government. All I can surmise is that they have spent their money on $486 million of health reforms, hundreds of million dollars on expiring rat tests, and their focus is elsewhere. That's the only conclusions I can surmise.
Right, so I noticed in the release that you spoke of lifting New Zealand's game on cancer. What other strategies are you going to employ, and will it prevent preventable deaths? Do you think these deaths are preventable?
So we have already announced the increase in breast cancer screening. Of the 13 cancer treatments that we're going to fund, I would note that two of them are classified by the Cancer Control Agency as curative. And those are conditions for melanoma. And what this is when people have a serious melanoma, generally it's about stage three, and they've had the primary tumour removed and any lymph nodes that might be regionally involved, what the Cancer Control Agency has described is two of the treatments we're going to fund will be curative, in their definition of curative, for those people with melanoma. That's a big impact on a life, Millie, a huge impact on a life, quite aside from the other life-enabling treatment options, which will give people quality of life with the cancer diagnosis that they have. So certainly all of the NGOs, the Melanoma Foundations, the Bowel Cancer Foundations, they are just so excited today. They were excited last night. I understand their peer support platforms have gone crazy with people who are so excited that there's another option potentially coming down the pathway for them. And I think every New Zealander is pleased that we're turning our attention to lifting the cancer bar and giving clinicians the tools that they want.
Does National have a firm plan on how they will deliver this in terms of funding, personnel and coordination? I believe a lot of these are Pharmac products, aren't they?
So the implementation will go through the normal Pharmac process. It is fair to say that infusion capacity is constrained across the whole health sector. And we've been looking into that, and we've made statements around health workforce and policies around health workforce as to how we would lift the health workforce to address that issue. For this particular announcement, it's less of an issue because half of the treatment options are oral. They're tablets you take at home, so they don't go in through a drip at all.
That was the National Party's Dr. Shane Reddy speaking to me on the GST announcement, cell phone bans in schools, and the newest announcements surrounding cancer treatment. We'll be back after this short break. You are listening to The Wire on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.